Down on the was. I'm still astounded. Like, at first I was like, how did you find so many nines? And it's all in the numbers.
It's all in the numbers. Numerology, man.
It adds up.
It adds up. That was, okay, so that piece of music right there is actually, it's still playing a little bit, but it's called Home Invasion, Regret Number 9. It's by Stephen Wilson from an album called Hand Cannot Erase. And this album is a very interesting piece of work. Let's play a little bit. Liquid Tension Experiment while we chat for a minute. So that album is an interesting piece of work because it was actually based upon a true story about a woman who died in an apartment and nobody knew about it for 3 years.
God, so it didn't smell?
Apparently, wherever it was, the window was open in such a way, or whatever it was, she got preserved in such a way where it didn't smell. And
have you ever had a rat die in your wall?
Yes, I have. Yes, I know what you're talking about. But apparently, I mean, friends and family and everything. This woman was not just, well, she wasn't a recluse. She was actually a well-liked young lady. And she, apparently, I think she committed suicide in her apartment. But, you know, but whatever it is, this went undiscovered for 3 years. So that was an intriguing enough tale. So that whole album is dedicated to that experience. It is a very powerful and, at times, tear-jerking album. Now, that last piece of music was just pure badassery. So that was just like, oh, okay, yeah. Guthrie Govan might be the heir apparent to Jeff Beck.
Okay, and he played some Jeff Beck, too.
I did. We'll get back to that in a moment. So what did I play before that? So let's see. We had Obsidia number 9 from OSI, from the album Free. Plan 9, Channel 7 from The Damned. Oh, God, that's such a great band. Before that, we had 90, what was it called? Perversion 99 by Rob Zombie.
May I interject really fast?
Sure.
Okay, so I went back to visit my parents, who I introduced to, do you know the streaming service Tubi?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have it's a great resource for anybody, but it's all free.
Free TV, yeah.
Yeah.
Some good shit on there, too.
Oh, yeah, especially documentaries.
Oh, yeah.
And so I walk into my parents' house, and my parents are in their 70s, and they're watching a documentary on The Damned. And they'd never heard The Damned before. And they were just like, yeah, we'd split a play into the next thing. And I was like, this is actually really cool of you.
This is very cool. I mean, The Damned is a very cool band. I mean,
very interesting.
They are. They're more than, I mean, it's like
they're more than punk.
They're lumped in with punk. And I have a punk fan base, I think, for the most part. But I don't think they're really punk. I think some of their songs are punk.
Yeah, but their cover of Alone Again,
fucking awesome.
Is amazing.
I love that. White Rabbit.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, their songs are so good. And they're a little bit on that psychedelic 60s sound, which is where punk kind of origin, it's a garage band sound, which is the origin of punk, right?
Yeah.
So the punk, and then you get the Stooges, obviously, was the next iteration.
Yeah, MC5.
For sure.
MC5 was like, I mean, Stooges and MC5 were like proto-punk, and then you have like, you know, The Damned was just, I don't know if they happened to be in the right place at the right time, or like what, because they kind of got lumped in.
They did. Well, and they came out in the 80s or whatever, and all that stuff, so... you know, that's all well and good. But, you know, hey, you know, what are we going to do? But, yeah, so that's kind of cool. I like that. That's a cool story. All right, so what were we here before that? Let's see. We had a Perversion 99 from Rob Zombie, Patient number 9 with Ozzy Osbourne with Jeff Beck.
Okay, yeah. And that, when you said Jeff Beck was on there and you told me Jeff Beck was dead, I couldn't believe it. How did you not know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but how little fanfare. It's like...
Almost none.
People lose their shit over Jimmy Buffett, you know, and like...
Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
that's fine. No, he's a huge musician, but like Jeff Beck is one of the greatest guitar players of all time. Like, I feel like Kanye West right now.
Kanye West, guitars are useless, man. No. Once he said that, and I was like, oh, you're Kanye, you've been written off for fucking ever. That kind of dumbass statement is not going to let me fucking let that slide.
Oh, wouldn't be the first or last.
No doubt. He's an idiot. Before Ozzy, we had Engine Number 9 by the Deftones. Number 9 by Aesop Rock, which we've discussed. He's the greatest rapper currently out there.
Currently, it's ever since Mac Miller died. And Double K from People Under the Stairs. And I don't know, man. Like,
He's intelligent. He's an intelligent rapper, and he does a lot of interesting stuff. So,
and he doesn't try to flex in a weird way. He doesn't try to he wrote a song about his fucking cat.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And he does. I mean, yeah. He does this weird shit. Like, oh, maybe it's a trap. Yeah. I love all that stuff. Oh, God. We had Dolly Parton, and that's it. Fucking awesome. Love Dolly Parton. She's got a rock and roll album coming out in November.
Okay, so this is her first rock album. Because were you the person who told me that she wouldn't accept her Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nomination because she said she'd never written a rock album?
Yes. Okay. Yes, she wouldn't. I can't be in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, honey. I ain't done a rock album yet. Well, she's going to do one. She'll get in immediately.
So now she can accept it.
Now she can accept it. Yeah, exactly. But she's like, I'm going to have to do one, honey. She's like the sweetest pie.
Yeah.
Swear to God.
How I can't respect her honesty enough. It's like, oh, no, I already slayed country music. I don't need a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I'm already a Nashville star.
I already am.
I'm at the Grand Ole Opry.
Jesus, what a Christ.
This is something I didn't know about the Grand Ole Opry till like recently, about a couple of years ago, is if you're a member of the Grand Ole Opry, you have to play there a certain amount of times a year.
Oh, is that a fact?
Yeah. So she has to play there. If you're a member of the Opry, you have to play. You have no choice. Otherwise, they kick you out.
Ah, that's an interesting little thing. Was not aware of that.
Yeah, it's kind of like with SAG. If you don't make $26,000 a year, then you lose your health insurance.
Oh, shit. Oh, by the way, this is Nine Inch Nails we got now.
Okay, so now to the band name.
Well, no, the song's called Nine Ghost One. No, the band name still didn't qualify it. The Nine Inch Nails ended up on here like multiple times.
Yeah.
So just because they tend to lean to that number nine thing.
You know, I really loved this album. Because, okay, so...
Well, it's an ambient piece of music, so...
Well, Trent Reznor, he had this screed back when, like, it was before streaming, but it was back in, like, when Napster was a thing.
Yeah.
And he had this whole screed that was so prophetic that he sent out to, like, to his message board or whatever it was. Like, back when bands actually had websites that they owned, like David Bowie.
Yeah.
He was like... It was advice for musicians for the next 10 years. And he's like, give your music out. Sell it, but give your music out. Like, this album, Ghost, was like, it was a free album.
Yeah.
But he was like, give your music out, sell it, but always have a platform where people can get it for free, because they will anyways. At least if you're honest about it, they're more inclined to buy it.
Exactly. Exactly, and so it's and you find if you can't stop them from doing it anyway, they're going to do it. So if you offer a free album, they're more likely to find ways to keep you around.
Yeah,
as a fan, it's like, hey, well, these guys are cool, man. Let's keep them around. Hey, buy their T-shirts or whatever, you know.
Look at Radiohead's In Rainbows.
Exactly.
But Nirvana, or not Nirvana, but Nine Inch Nails. I mean, the Nine Inch Nails logo is always going to be a perfect shirt.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like, it's kind of like the Nirvana smiley face logo. It's kind of like the Tool logo. Like, they're iconic.
It is iconic, and it's amazing that way. So, let's see. Let's backtrack the last two tracks we heard before we run out of stuff to talk here. We did Low Potion number 9 from Erica Grapes.
And I said, you could probably fill this entire set with just covers of that song.
I know, it's been so... And that was a cover, by the way. And Erica Grapes is in a Hungarian-Italian... descent, and you could tell that there was a certain European flair to her vocal delivery.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the beginning of that last set was Number 9 by Moonhooch, which, you know...
Great band.
Fucking amazing band. All right, so right now we're listening to Chick Corea, the electric band, the 99 Flavors. And
I'm still astounded by your... I can't tell if it's your research or if you're... This is astonishing to me.
Well, you know, I had this idea in mind of doing my 99th episode with Number 9. Probably around episode 70.
So for
episode so I start
so, 100, you're going to give 100% for once?
Yes. Actually, for 100, for the 100th episode, I'm inviting all Radio Valencia heads to come in, spin some music, promote your show, talk with me, drink with me.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to play for 6 hours because... So we're going to start... So In the Land of Hi-Fi won't be going on that night.
Okay.
Matter of fact, next week I won't be going on. The Land of Hi-Fi is going to take my slot and run for whatever length of time he wants to run. And he may run his alternate show. So that'll be cool. Definitely tune into that. But yeah, we're going to have people in here. We'll drink, play, spin some records, talk our shows, talk shit amongst ourselves, talk shit on the air, talk shit off the air. And I'm just going to play whatever comes up. I'll have some music in a bag to play from, but I'm not, I have no timed, themed exploits. This is going to be pure chaos.
Well, that's kind of the beauty of Radio Valencia is that pretty much all our shows get along personally.
Yeah.
So it's like...
So it was, why not collaborate?
Yeah. I mean, we talk shit to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Believe me, check out the message boards.
Oh, yeah. Check out those. All right. So we're going to shut up for a few minutes here. We're going to play a little Emerson, Lake, and Palmer for you. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
To the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass lies a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Sky, and he laughs until he cries, and he
heaven. I was a dandy, yeah, my kind. Sweet things from Boston, so young and wheeling.
Around. I'm is on the ground. To silver traps that weigh on high, and watched a royal samurai when two black orchids in a hay box and strap it to a laughing fox. A minstrel bought a crooked spoon. He gave it to a blue baboon. Nine cats dance on the moon.
hold this down a little bit.
What kind of?
This is Joe Satriani, baby.
Ice Nine.
Yeah. Yeah, we had. Before that, we had 9 types of industrial pollution from Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention from Uncle Meat.
When we were talking about it, I was like, who is this? And you're like, Frank Zappa. And I was like, yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah, if you said anything else, I thought you were a liar. Yeah, we heard Porcupine Tree before that with 9 cats.
Such an interesting band.
Yeah,
and we were both saying that I wouldn't say they're under. They have a fan base. They have a very distinct fan base, but like since they're genreless, people just like to categorize things.
They do. They like to put things in the buckets. I mean, that's how you sell product, right?
I mean,
how do you direct the guy to? I want the guy to find who's into Bon Jovi. Secretly finds that. I don't know what would follow next to that. The Poison record that's a couple bins away. I don't fucking know. But you know what I'm saying.
Didn't Satriani start out with Zappa?
No, it was Steve Vai that started out with Zappa. But Steve Vai was taught by Joe Satriani.
Oh, okay.
So there's the link, right? So there is a link there.
So that's the kind of
cause and effect, the causative effect thing. So Joe Satriani actually didn't actually become famous until after Steve Vai did.
So was Satriani in a band ever, or just?
Yes, he was in the Greg Kinn band. He was in the Greg Kinn band. Yes,
like I'm on Jeopardy.
Yes, yes. Not on that album, but he was on another album. Actually, after he'd actually had his heyday, so Joe Satriani joined as the touring guitarist and was on one of the albums that he did with Greg Kinn band. Of course, Greg Kinn is now a DJ down in San Jose, right?
So really,
yeah, he's on what used to be KOME, I think. Here we are back at that Carnival number 9, second impression image from Lake and Palmer. So that's going to play for a while.
But it's weird when you think about people who are in bands or bands that are underrated or whatever. Like, because I think Greg Kinn, that album was actually good.
Yeah, well, Greg Kinn was a good musician, and he had his own little thing going. It was poppy, it was rock, you know, really straightforward. But you know, kind of like Huey Lewis and the News was very straightforward. And it was actually different for the time because it wasn't. It was actually semi non-pretentious.
Yeah, how do you qualify Huey Lewis in the music in the News' music? It's like it's not power pop, but it almost is.
It's rock and roll. It's straight up rock and roll. It was you know, and it was a band that was just doing rock and roll songs, kind of like Eddie Money does rock and roll songs, you know. Those things were good for the time being. This was good radio music. It was good for listeners. It drew in older listeners, probably because it was still close to that old style of rock and roll, right? It still had a youthful sound to it, so the younger listeners, you know, and it wasn't new wave. It wasn't metal. It was kind of just rock and roll. It's like 38 Special was in that same kind of category, you know. These were rock and roll songs. They weren't anything more than that. They were just simply...
I can't remember if we were talking about it on air, but we were talking about like how genres, like there was that period of time where you couldn't be multiple.
Oh no, you were one thing and that was all you could be, and that was when I was in high school. So the punks and the metalheads would fight amongst each other. They would both get their asses kicked
by
the jocks.
That makes no sense. What was
we
the
were
band?
Both get, we should have joined forces and beat the crap out of the jocks because they were the ones always pounding on us. But the whole mosh pit thing started because of that.
Really?
Yeah. So the punks and the metalheads were, you know, fighting over turf. You know, so these were turf wars. So they started out as mosh pits, and they were violent. And they were very violent. I mean, they've evolved into this communal, tribal.
Oh yeah,
if anybody gets knocked down, you get picked up immediately. Nobody's going to let you. It's almost like a military. No man gets left behind.
And if you get hurt, you get tossed out of the pit and like into someone's arms that will
take you away and get you fixed up. Yeah,
yeah.
Yet it's still violent. It's still violent and very warlike. But you know, it's more like a rugby game.
Yeah, you're not going in to punch somebody.
No. There's a few assholes that still do that shit.
If you're that guy who's punching people, you're about to get knocked.
You're about to get yanked. I've seen guys get their heads yanked backwards and like fucking damn near whiplash and shit with that. But yeah, that was. I mean, shit.
What band do you think? think bridged the gap? Was it Metallica?
No. Well, that's the whole thing. It was like the thrash thing actually, well, musically bridged the gap, I think. But I still think the attitudes did not change, right? So the long hairs were doing that. Of course, this was, you know, breakneck punk beats, right? And then, of course, they threw in like, yeah, but we're playing guitar solos and we can play our instruments, you jackasses. You know, and for the most part, punk bands, actually, most of them couldn't play their instruments. They kind of sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you were Fear, you know, which...
I watched the decline of Western civilization while I was barbacking which last night.
Fear. Quite
and,
a bit.
And the Germs, and the which Germs. Is a band that did not know how to play their instruments.
Oh, they were terrible. They were terrible instrumentalists. But also, I think the Cramps were that time, and they could play.
Oh, yeah.
The Cramps were kind of a rockabilly band, though.
Yeah, yeah.
They kind of had that. They just had this edginess to them that made them punk-ish.
Well,
yeah, but then there was the, you know, with the Party Boys, and then
I'm trying to think. Who is the band that I was like... Well, Black Flag was a completely different Black Flag back then.
Right, right. But Black Flag could play, and then same with the...
Alice Bags Band, X could play.
Right, X could play, and so, I mean, and obviously... Ted Kennedy's can play. East Bay Ray's a freaking phenomenal guitar player.
And I've heard he's a very nice person.
From what I gather, too, he did an interesting album with a Moroccan vocalist named Remiti back in the early 90s, 92 or 93. And it also featured Flea. And Robert Fripp was also on this album at some point.
That is an insane lineup.
And it's like a Moroccan, it's like Moroccan music, and it's like,
how did that
it's so
happen?
Good.
No,
I don't know how it happened. I don't know how it happened. It's just freaking phenomenal.
But if you think about it, like I remember going to see Dick Dale back in the early 2000s. It was during one of his last tours, and he explained how he came up with surf guitar because he was Greek. And it was based, like, Miserlou is based on, like, an old Greek song.
Right, which is very similar to Jewish music.
So, yeah.
Like, it's a Hava Nagila. It's actually Hava Nagila in a Jewish tradition, but...
Yeah, just in a different syncopation, different...
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost the same notes. It's probably the same...
You know, it's just like, you know, it's like... And so there's, you know, obviously, there's some... dialectal and regional stuff like that, but a lot of stuff gets. There's a lot of stuff that got imported from like polka and stuff like that. The beat, punk beat, is a polka beat.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, a lot of that had a lot of those kind of chromatic, kind of little earrings and stuff like that. So,
oh, I had never thought about that.
I mean, you listen to John.
Punk beat is a polka beat.
It's a polka beat, straight up polka beat, man. It is a boom bap, boom bap, boom bap, boom bap, boom bap, boom bap. You know, the only difference is they got some guitars, man.
And it's faster,
right? It's faster. Of course, when you were around when I played that Igor track, right? It's like,
yeah,
accordion for heavy metal. It's like that was never in the equation. It is now, motherfucker.
Oh man, I really need to speed up my melodica playing.
Well, you can't be playing Prince Tubby all along, you know.
No. I need to make the melodica punk because I have a hot pink melodica.
Well, that would be kind of in that whole two-tone area to play the, because the melodica is very frequent in the reggae sound.
Yeah, but in dub, but
in
not
dub.
not in like ska.
No, not in ska, but you could do that. Why not?
I would run out of breath so fast. I've been a smoker for years. I just switched over to vaping, which, weirdly enough, my mom said was okay. She was like,
no, it's not okay. You know, the shit that's going to go inside your lungs, I would rather you see you smoke the real thing.
I wish I could afford it.
Right. I mean, yeah, because the medical, it's like, yeah, let's just inhale a bunch of, like, you know, iron.
Let's heat up a iron thing.
Yeah, let me just smoke some metal shavings.
I just keep it full.
I'm an anti-vapor people, so don't vape. If you want to smoke, smoke the real fucking thing. Don't smoke the real fucking thing, but if you're gonna smoke, smoke the deal. It's like, don't drink Diet Coke. Either drink the Coke or don't drink the Coke.
But you came from the generation where everyone smoked.
True. Everybody like, smoked. I smoked for years.
I haven't
had a cigarette in 5 years.
It's a hard one to quit. It's
almost 5 years.
It's a hard one to quit, you know.
I didn't quit. You know how I did it?
You stopped.
No, I became a non-smoker. I'm serious about that. I'm serious. I know it sounds funny, but it was a mental thing, right? So I became a non-smoker because
Did you read Alan Carr's?
No, I just came up with this is my own.
Oh no, no, but that makes sense because that's the way I kind of think about when I quit drinking. It's like I'm just not drinking right now.
Yeah, I'm not. This is what I want to be something different.
You don't want to like feel like you're depriving yourself.
Right, right. You know, I would like to try life without drinking. If you're thinking about stopping the drinking, if you think you drank too much, that's a good way to look at it. I'm thinking about life. What was life feel like without drinking?
I just look at
Try it for a while. It's an interesting experiment.
I just look at it like I'm not going to drink today. Yeah. I might not drink tomorrow. But I don't like to look at things as quitting because it's a different mentality.
Nobody likes a quitter. And a quitter never wins. We all know this. This is ingrained in us, right? You know, this is also the same reason why I don't believe in participation fucking trophies. Fuck participation trophies. If your kid's a loser, let him be a loser, okay? He's never going to learn anything if he doesn't have the experience of losing. Otherwise, he's going to be a spoiled, rotten little brat.
I don't know.
Wanting all his, he didn't win, man. Shut up.
I don't think I'd go that far, I do think it's important to get your ass kicked at least once. Like, it's important to lose a fight.
Yeah. You're going to start a fight, and you're going to lose.
Was that from Fight Club?
Yeah. Yeah. The average person will do anything to avoid a fight, so this is harder than you think. I always loved it when he got the priest to come back and kick his ass. That was the best.
But I do think that there is validity in just knowing your own humility. It's kind of like bombing on like one of the things Second City teaches you, like which is the main improv school
in
the world. One of the first things that you're taught is you have to go up on stage and bomb.
Okay. Yeah, because you're gonna know what that feels like.
And you have to do the full 5 or 10 minutes and you have to bomb. And you can't be funny. You have to stand there and embrace it because it's gonna happen at some point.
And you might as well get it out of the way. I like that concept. I never actually did that when I did my stand up. By the way, I'm gonna come next Friday.
Oh, awesome, man. Thanks.
Yeah.
Can I plug it?
You can plug it. I'm probably not going to get up there and do anything. But
No, just come by and have a couple beers.
Yeah, come by, hang out. I mean,
there's good food nearby.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't know. I haven't prepared a stand-up routine in got over a decade, but...
It's cool.
You know, matter of fact, but I'm actually probably more likely to be funny on a whim than I am prepared.
If you know the cadence, I mean, stand-up...
Well, it's all about timing.
Yeah, if you know the cadence and the rhythm and everything and how to project your voice, you can kind of, anything can be funny.
Oh yeah,
you know, like it's
just all a matter of, well, people set shit up all the time.
Yeah.
They're just especially like this, like, you know, especially in a bar setting, people will say things, and you're gonna go like, oh, okay, well, what about this? And they're usually sexual innuendos, and they're funny, but you know,
or you do a little crowd work, you get a couple prompts, and you're like, okay, I can roll with this. You
know? Oh yeah.
But anyways, what we're talking about is Lord of the Zings at the Knockout on Friday.
The 15th of September.
Yes. From 6 to 9 p.m.
6 to 9 p.m., yeah. So I encourage everybody to go down there and do that. I've been wanting to do it for a while. I keep missing it. And I've made a point. I'm going to make this one.
Oh, I really appreciate it.
So it's a little bit of fun. So, hey, we've been chatting for a while. We've just been listening to 9/11 by Charlie Hunter.
Oh, God. That's coming up.
Yeah. We are coming up on 9/11.
Is that's a song about that?
I think it actually precedes it. Let's see when this album came out. 96. Yeah, it precedes it.
Not by
5 years, but yeah. But it probably refers to the original meaning of 911, which is, emergency, motherfuckers, I'm dying!
Okay. I'm pretty sure a lot of people did that on the day, too.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, but that was not a very unique approach.